from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Monday edition, fueled by an oil war between Saudi Arabia and Russia, the stock market plunged 2,000 points as trading was briefly suspended this morning. Driving the overall decline is the anxiety over the coronavirus. Dan Celia with Financial Issues joins us later with a closer look at the market and what we can expect in the days ahead. And is this financial meltdown the result of an overreaction? What are the facts? Congressman Ralph Abraham, a member of the House Doctors Caucus, joins me in just a moment. And you don't turn on the television or radio or go online without hearing about coronavirus. The anxiety is spreading much quicker than the virus itself, and it may prove to be more deadly. How should Christians be responding? I'll talk with Pastor Dave Bearden, whose congregation is just miles from the epicenter of the outbreak in Washington State. Pastor Bearden preached on this very topic yesterday. Also, FRC Senior Vice President and Resident Counselor Harold Harper will join me to talk about making sure you take the preventative actions against the anxiety of coronavirus. And finally, Missouri lawmakers are taking steps to prevent public libraries from being used as a staging ground for launching cultural attacks on your children. State Representative Ben Baker of Missouri is here to explain. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. And by the way, for those tracking and those that were there, know this to be the case. The Stand Courageous event this past weekend in Naples, Florida was a great event. And we've got some more coming up. If you'd like to know if there's going to be one in your community, go to TonyPerkins.com or StandCourageous.com. And if you would like to host one, let us know. We may take a look at that as well. All right, the stock market continues its turmoil, and oil prices are crashing thanks to the worldwide fear of coronavirus. Well, what are we doing to slow this down? What actions are Congress, what is this administration taking? What is Congress supporting? And is the fear greater than the virus itself? Joining me now to talk about this is a member of the House Doctors Caucus, Dr. Ralph Abraham. He represents the 5th Congressional District of my home state of Louisiana. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks for having me, Tony.
And I know you've been tracking this, and as a part of the Doctors Caucus, I've spoken to many of the members of that caucus. Let me start with this. Is the administration taking the appropriate actions?
They are. I mean, President Trump and his administration, they've acted decisively. They've acted responsibly to respond to this virus, and they got ahead of it very early, so I think they've done a good job.
This morning, Secretary of Health and Human Services Alex Azar was on Fox, and in fact, I talked to him last week about this, but he says they have their arms around the crisis. Over the weekend, they shipped out over a million of the tests, the diagnostic kits. They now have 2.1 million available for the U.S. It does appear that the administration is taking all of the right steps. The president, in my view, trying to calm people down by not acting like this is, the end of the world. But it doesn't appear that everybody's getting that message. This, in some ways, to me, and I'm not downgrading the threat. If you get the virus, it's obviously it's not good news. But this is being fueled, I think, by a sense of panic from the media.
Oh, I totally agree with that for sure. It's a virus. It's going to be fairly widespread. We're going to start developing some immunity to it as more people get exposed. Treatment is being developed. A vaccine is being developed. And again, people, if they will take a step back, understand that the risk is still very, very low for not only getting the virus, but if they do get it, then the risk is very, very low for it to become a serious issue for their health. You know, I'm advising my patients, I'm advising my constituents to, one, get plenty of rest, eat properly, avoid gatherings if you can, but, if you can't, take the proper precautions of washing your hands, not touching your face. And both politically and medically, Tony, what I can tell you, sunshine is a wonderful treatment. Let the sunshine in. And just getting out in a day like here in Washington where the sun is shining, the temperature is warm, and getting some good vitamin D certainly helps the immune system.
It does. Actually, you know, I'm encouraging my staff to make sure they take extra amounts of vitamin C and vitamin D. But part of this, it does come down to personal protection. Here's a prediction I have. I think because of the reaction, people washing their hands, the hand sanitizer, try to find some somewhere, and you can't find it. It's all been snapped up off the store shelves. But I would actually predict that the rate of flu is going to go down because people are taking it serious. And when you look in comparison, the CDC, in this, these are CDC numbers, in this flu season, their estimates are that at least 34 million people have gotten the flu this year, and it's resulted in about 20,000 deaths. And right now, you know, we have far less than 1,000 confirmed cases of coronavirus here in the United States.
Yeah, exactly right. Again, as this thing progresses on and as it spreads a little bit, you know, unfortunately, it looks like the very elderly are the most susceptible to having a bad outcome. And, you know, again, these are the people that we need to protect in any way we can. Your comment when you were introducing the show as Christians, certainly, you know, we need to do the Christian thing and help those that are the most vulnerable in society. But on the medical end, we also do that too. And those that we know at this point are the most susceptible to the bad outcomes with coronaviruses, you know, we need to circle the wagons and we need to do everything possible we can to prevent death and severe illness in these very old people.
Now, comparing these to some of the predecessors to the coronavirus, you had the SARS, that virus, which is somewhat similar in its construct, but the fatality rate was much higher of those previous.
That's right. That's exactly right. And, you know, fortunately, what we're seeing with the coronavirus is that the children right now aren't as nearly as affected as, you know, the older adults. And if you look at the demographics, if you go generational from 20 to 30, 30 to 40, and on up the chain, as you ascend in age, it becomes a little more possible that you could have, you know, a bad outcome. But again, even that, the risk is very, very, very low.
I think last I checked, there's 22 fatalities as a result, 21, 22 so far. In most of those cases, and I don't know, maybe you have more, most of these were among the elderly and those that had underlying conditions.
Yeah, that is correct. And most of them were actually where the elderly did have an underlying condition. And as everyone knows, you know, as we age, we tend to get underlying conditions such as the diabetes, unfortunately the cancers where we have to take the chemo, which certainly lowers the immune system. And those are just age-related illnesses that go with an aging population. So it's kind of a double whammy to that older individual because they are going to have some underlying conditions. That's just the risk of this point forward. And if you're fortunate enough to live long enough, you're going to have something.
So, Congressman Abraham, as you were talking about earlier about making recommendations to your patients, so I guess those that are in a more susceptible demographic age group that could be more susceptible to the virus, they should take greater precautions, maybe avoiding the crowds, maybe staying at home more. And those that might not be well or maybe feeling they're not up to par should avoid visiting maybe the elderly or those that have compromised immune systems.
Exactly right. I mean, you said all the right things. And, you know, certainly those elderly that, you know, may go out on occasion to do certain things among groups, just don't go for the next couple of weeks. Let's see how this thing pans out. As we go forward, again, common sense will win most things in the medical front. And, again, common sense will beat this coronavirus. And once we get treatment, once we get vaccines available, you know, then we got this thing where we need it to be. But in the meantime, until those two things happen, until we get treatment, until we get the vaccine, again, rest, eat, stay home unless you just have to get out, certainly if you're elderly. Those of us that have to go to work, just do the smart things. Wash our hands, don't touch our faces. Things like that matter. And to your other point, you're going to see the number of flu A and flu B cases that we have seen just overwhelm us here at my clinic. Those will go down, too, because people are doing the right things to prevent any illness.
Now, you mentioned about going to work. Some discussion this morning about Congress potentially shutting down. Are we hearing anything else about that as a possibility?
We are hearing that. Again, next week is a district week anyway. So, if we make this a short week or, if we go the whole week, we're here now. I know some members have self-quarantined themselves at their homes, wherever state they're in, and that's fine. But again, next week, Congress will be back in their district anyway. So, whatever we do, I think we're in a good spot here one way or the other.
And you mentioned very quickly wrapping up the Secretary Alex Azar again made reference that the vaccine should go into clinical trials very soon. What do you think? I know they're speeding this time frame up very rapidly. When do you think we may actually see vaccines available?
I think you could see a vaccine available this year, which would be phenomenally fast. But, the President Trump and his administration are removing any roadblocks that would prevent a vaccine from becoming on the market as quickly as it can. And as we all know with a vaccine, there has to be testing done before it can be given to the nation as a whole. And that does take time. It takes time to grow the virus, that type of deal. And just the logistics of making a vaccine take a while. But it could happen in 2020, and I actually will predict that we'll see a vaccine in 2020.
So is that too late for this surge of the virus, or is this something, is Corona going to be around for a while?
Well, I think once you get any virus in a community like the flu, like Corona, which we have many other coronaviruses, once it gets into the population, it tends to stay. But again, people will start developing immunity to it. Hopefully we can reach that what we call herd immunity status, where 80% of the people have antibodies to this particular virus, and that's going to help keep it beat down for any future things that it may want to do. So with the treatment, with the vaccine, with people developing immunity, all these things are coming together very quickly, and the combination of those things will, I think, make this thing a thing that not necessarily of the past, but certainly a thing that we don't fear anymore.
So take a deep breath, say a prayer, wash your hands, and use good hygiene, and we should be in good shape.
Exactly. If people will follow those tenets right there, then we're going to be okay.
All right. Congressman Ralph Abraham, thanks so much for joining us. Always great to talk with you.
You bet. Y'all have a great day. Bye-bye.
All right. All right, folks, don't go away. When we come back, Dan Celia is going to join us. We're going to talk about the markets. They're not taking a deep breath or taking a deep plunge. What does that mean? Where might they go next? And what should you do in the midst of this? They always say if you keep your head in the midst of crisis, you'll come out on top. All right, don't go away. A lot more Washington Watch to come.
In the U.S., the rate of chemical abortions is at an all-time high. This increase is being driven by the abortion industry, which wants abortion pills available through the pharmacy in the mail, making do-it-yourself abortions the future of the abortion industry. Abortion advocates once claimed that legal abortion would prevent back-alley abortions, but the health complications that often result from chemical abortion are eerily similar to those of back-alley abortions. For more information, visit frc.org/chemicalabortion.
China has become one of the most totalitarian states in human history. The Chinese Communist Party restricts religious practice and oppresses religious minorities on a sweeping scale, targeting those of every faith. The Chinese Communist Party's consistent abuses of human rights prove that it cannot be treated just like any other country. The United States must address these violations in their trade and diplomatic dealings with China. For more information about the human rights crisis in China, visit frc.org/China.
What are you reading this winter? Looking for timely and original commentary on human dignity, marriage, and religious liberty? We've got you covered at frcblog.com. The content on our blog is written by our policy experts, FRC staff, as well as outside contributors. Read about a wide variety of topics like crimes in the criminal state of China, how Game of Thrones mainstreamed sexual exploitation, transgender regret, the rise of the detransitioners, and many more. Stand for truth by staying informed at frcblog.com.
What other trip to Israel can you take that combines walking where Jesus walked with meeting today's Israeli leaders? This is Tony Perkins, president of Family Research Council, inviting you to spend an incredible 9 days in Israel with me, General Jerry Boykin, and former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann from June the 2nd through the 12th. You'll discover the roots of your faith and learn from experts about the geopolitical landscape of the region. For more information, visit TonyPerkins.com or call 844-872-5155.
We all need to be lectured sometimes. Family Research Council's new podcast features selected talks by top thinkers from the archives of the FRC Speaker Series. Our podcast podium takes on tough issues like religious liberty, life, marriage, family, sexuality, public policy, and the culture, all from a biblical worldview. Listen with us to the lecture, then stick around afterward as we break down the content. The Lecture Me podcast is available wherever podcasts are found, or visit frc.org/podcasts.
Ever heard the term toxic masculinity? Hello, this is Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council. Some progressive universities are offering courses to help men unlearn rigid definitions of masculinity, treating it as if it were a mental health condition. Thankfully, the culture doesn't have the last word on manhood. God does. Check out our StandCourageous.com for an event in your area. That's StandCourageous.com. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at TPerkins. All right, as we mentioned in the previous segment, the stock market is more than sick as it dropped 2,000 points today. The decline fueled by a mixture of coronavirus fears and anxiety and an oil war between Saudi Arabia and Russia. Join me now to talk about where this may go and what you should do is President and CEO of Financial Issues for Stewardship Ministries, Dan Celia. Dan, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, thanks for having me back. I sure appreciate being with you.
Well, Dan, good to hear a voice of reason in the midst of a chaotic day. Let's start with this. Can you explain the significance of what has taken place in the financial world today?
Well, I think the majority of the issue has been oil. It hasn't been corona. I think corona is going to and has been continuing to weigh on the markets, no doubt about it. But, you know, that was a black swan event, Tony, those kinds of things that happen rarely, unforeseen. Analytics can't predict it. And then on top of that, we've got something we'll probably never see again, another black swan event, this more of a geopolitical black swan event with oil on top of it. Just an unbelievable set of circumstances that this happened like that. These things are unpredictable. And I think the oil is the big issue because I think actually there's more uncertainty in and around this oil situation. And oil has a greater chance of impacting the markets in a worse way, because eventually, Tony, if oil continues to drop, it is going to dramatically impact the financial sector. And the financial sector is the biggest part of our economy. And J.P. Morgan, probably, you know, one of the largest banks in the world, on the hook for a lot of these oil debt that is massive amounts of money. So this could be a huge, huge problem if it continues. Now,
I want to unpack the oil for just a moment because
sure.
that has implications for the job market here in the United States as well, because it's just taking some of the profits incentive out of exploration and drilling. And when oil gets cheap, we get less exploration here in the United States. Is that right?
That's right. And we're going to see the job market change next week if it continues. It's going to be very interesting to see the rig count. So we get a rig count on Friday, but that's really for last week. So the rig count for this week coming out next week is going to be down dramatically. It just is if these prices stay like that, which means people are going to get laid off. Your state is going to be impacted dramatically by that. And we're going to see layoffs. And that is certainly a concern and should be a concern.
Okay, quickly, the underlying issues in the oil war between Saudi Arabia and Russia.
Well, I have a very different take than everybody else. My take is simple. It is Russia was holding out during the OPEC meetings. I talked about this Thursday and Friday, that they have been holding out. They did not want any more additional cuts in production, which is what OPEC wanted. And Russia was not going to go along with it. I thought they were stalling or just pressing, but, you know, come Saturday, we find out they didn't go for it. I believe this is strictly an assumption. I have a sneaky suspicion I may be right, but I think that the Russian negotiators talking to the OPEC negotiators, Saudi Arabia, said, look, we've been trying to crush the U.S. fracking industry for years. We gave up 2 years ago. This is an opportunity to do it. Let's just leave the current cuts expire, meaning production was going to ramp up instead of being cut, and it's going to put the frackers out of business, which is not the case. That not going to happen, but it has seen dramatic drop in the oil sector because we are entering in to a place where more oil is coming to market when we have a growing supply, a threat to supply.
Right.
So it is, it's a recipe for disaster, and that's exactly what has happened. I think it's a little bit more calculated than they're letting on to be. But at the same time, Tony, Russia can't sustain this. They're
right.
Going to have to cry uncle because their economy is on the verge of bankruptcy, and all they have is oil. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
All right, let's talk about the underlying anxiety from the coronavirus. The markets have been staggering for the last 2 weeks. How should we as believers approach this time of uncertainty and anxiety?
Well, I think, obviously we have a sovereign God that we rely upon on and our focus is on. But you know what? This virus, horrible thing. But it's temporary. It's temporary. This is just a transitory issue. And I think that everybody, the average Joe even understands that this is going to pass. Maybe it's in 3 weeks. Maybe it's June. Maybe it's November. We don't know. But it is going to pass, and we will get a handle on it. I don't think that the virus is yet impacting the economy, but it will. We're going to see layoffs. We're going to see a slowdown in production. If schools close, if factories here close, if industry close, malls close, we could see a real impact on productivity, economy, and of course, GDP growth as a result of it. But again, whatever happens because of the virus is going to be transitory for sure. And it will pass, and we just have to understand that and hope that it gets contained in the next, month and a half or 2 months.
Right. Right now, it's more the anxiety that's driving activity.
Yes, it is.
Dan Celia, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us.
It was my pleasure. Thank you, Tony. I appreciate being here.
All right. Dan Celia with Financial Issues for Stewardship Ministries. Go to TonyPerkins.com to find out more. We're going to talk more about this later in terms of, as Christians, we're talking about a financial standpoint, but from a spiritual standpoint, how should we address it? Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come. Hello, this is Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council and host of Washington Watch. I invite you to join our family and thousands of others across the country in standing on the Word of God as we go into 2020, the global year of the Bible, by joining in a two-year family chronological Bible reading plan. I can assure you that your family will be powerfully impacted by reading God's Word and growing in the understanding of His truth together. The readings take only 15 to 20 minutes a day, with Sundays set aside for a family or small group discussion. To join us, simply go to TonyPerkins.com and click on Stand on the Word with FRC. That's TonyPerkins.com or call 800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008. Let's stand together on the Word of God and change the world, beginning in our own home.
Last year, my brother Josh, a 37-year-old married father with five kids under the age of nine, announced he was becoming a woman. Josh changed his name to Melissa and now requires everyone to use she, her pronouns when referring to him. If the grandparents refuse to do this, they've been threatened with limited access to their grandchildren. My tall, handsome, muscular brother began taking strong female hormones that transformed him into a different person. He began wearing dresses, wigs, heels, and makeup in public. He will have to stay on female hormones until the day he dies. He refuses to answer to the name Josh now. He says Josh is dead. There was even some type of symbolic burial ceremony to say goodbye to Josh, once and for all. You've been listening to an excerpt from a six-part series telling the true account of a family impacted by the transgender movement. To read this important blog series, visit frc.org/cult.
I'm Tony Perkins, and you're listening to Washington Watch, the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, we all pay taxes for the local library, place where kids are supposed to be able to go, adults are supposed to be able to go, read books, learn. But it seems like every time you turn around these days, the left is trying to fill this place of learning with political agendas. Or in this particular case, we see increasingly drag queen hours. Well, parents need to have a say in what is taking place in their local library, and that is what a bill in Missouri is seeking to do. Joining me now to talk about this issue is Missouri State Representative Ben Baker. He's the author of the Parental Oversight of Public Libraries Act. Representative Baker, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for having me on, Tony. I really appreciate the time today.
Well, you're welcome. I appreciate you taking this stand. This has been an issue across the country with these drag queen story hours being put into public libraries. And you have introduced legislation that would create parental oversight boards for these unpaid, voluntary, but they would be elected by the population around the library to make sure that the material coming into these libraries is age appropriate.
Yes, that's the intention of the bill. Look, it seems like every week we hear another story where these things are happening in our library that are very disturbing. And it's happened several places in Missouri, and that's what really sparked me to take on this issue, just realizing that we have got to do something about our public libraries are being used as a tool, as a vehicle to push the LGBTQ agenda onto our children. And that's a public space funded by our tax dollars, and it shouldn't be allowed in those situations. And so that's what the intent of the bill is to do. And I think it's a great discussion to have. It's something that we need to address.
I mean, it sounds common sense, sounds right. I mean, I've read the legislation. You're just making sure that things that have inappropriate sexual content is not in these libraries without the parents making the determination if this is appropriate for their kids. I mean, this is community standards at its best. It's the parents making the decisions. But this has drawn opposition. In fact, there was a rally at the state capitol there at Jefferson
yes.
City this weekend opposing this.
It's been unbelievable, the opposition that has happened. Really unprecedented for me. I've taken on several controversial issues. I think the last time I was on your show was when I was mayor in Neosho, and they were, the Freedom From Religion Foundation was trying to take down the cross there. But this one has been by far the most hate and vitriol that I have received in taking on any issue. It's been unbelievable. Death threats and threats of violence and just the pushback has been unbelievable. And I think part of it is the American Library Association is at the heart of this problem. And their policies are atrocious. After really digging into this, they encourage the LGBTQ movement. They encourage the drag queen story hours. They discourage any restrictions when it comes to age or grade level for library content or library events. And they call that censorship if you would attempt to do that. And they have riled up the troops to push back on this. And I hate to say it, but they are effective because it makes it appear that they are the majority, and I know that's not the case. But it's something that we're up against.
Well, you point out in your defense of this legislation that these drag queen story hours have drawn child predators, and we know that to be the case. That's happened in Texas on more than one
yes.
occasion. And again, this is putting it into the hands of the parents. This is what is really revealing about the agenda on the left is they don't want parents to have a say in what is happening with their own children. Now, the enforcement mechanism here is that these libraries receive state funding, and you're saying that if they don't create this mechanism of giving parents a voice, they could lose their state funding.
Yes. And I think that's completely appropriate. We have standards. The language that's in my bill regarding objectionable sexual material is Supreme Court precedent language. It's something that, you know, and one of the things you've seen in this and the way the media addressed it was, you know, he's banning books and he's jailing librarians. Well, the penalty provision was the exact same penalty that if they don't put internet blocking software on the library computers currently, it's the same exact penalty.
Right.
As if they were doing that. So I'm asking, why can't we apply this same principle of protecting our children to other content and events?
Makes perfect sense. I did something very similar on the filters for public libraries back when I was in office. How can Representative Baker, how can people add their voice of support to your effort?
Biggest thing they can do is email the speaker's office here in Missouri, Elijah Haar, and try to send emails saying send the bill to committee hearing.
All right. We'll see if we can get that up on our website so that we can direct people that way, or at least direct them to you. Let me again thank you, Ben, for taking a stand for what is right, taking a stand for parents and for children. We appreciate it, and we'll be tracking this closely.
Have a great day. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Hey, folks, to find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. If you live in Missouri, help Representative Baker out. He could use your help. All right, coming up next, we go back to the coronavirus. How do we deal with the anxiety and the fear of something like this? We're going to talk with senior pastor of Pinehurst Baptist Church, Dave Bearden, whose congregation is just miles from the epicenter in Washington State. He preached on it yesterday.
In the U.S., the rate of chemical abortions is at an all-time high. This increase is being driven by the abortion industry, which wants abortion pills available through the pharmacy in the mail, making do-it-yourself abortions the future of the abortion industry. Abortion advocates once claimed that legal abortion would prevent back-alley abortions, but the health complications that often result from chemical abortion are eerily similar to those of back-alley abortions. For more information, visit frc.org/chemical-abortion.
China has become one of the most totalitarian states in human history. The Chinese Communist Party restricts religious practice and oppresses religious minorities on a sweeping scale, targeting those of every faith. The Chinese Communist Party's consistent abuses of human rights prove that it cannot be treated just like any other country. The United States must address these violations in their trade and diplomatic dealings with China. For more information about the human rights crisis in China, visit frc.org/China.
What are you reading this winter? Looking for timely and original commentary on human dignity, marriage, and religious liberty? We've got you covered at frcblog.com. The content on our blog is written by our policy experts, FRC staff, as well as outside contributors. Read about a wide variety of topics like crimes in the criminal state of China, how Game of Thrones mainstreamed sexual exploitation, transgender regret, the rise of the detransitioners, and many more. Stand for truth by staying informed at frcblog.com.
What other trip to Israel can you take that combines walking where Jesus walked with meeting today's Israeli leaders? This is Tony Perkins, president of Family Research Council, inviting you to spend an incredible 9 days in Israel with me, General Jerry Boykin, and former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann from June the 2nd through the 12th. You'll discover the roots of your faith and learn from experts about the geopolitical landscape of the region. For more information, visit TonyPerkins.com or call 844-872-5155.
We all need to be lectured sometimes. Family Research Council's new podcast features selected talks by top thinkers from the archives of the FRC Speaker Series. Our podcast podium takes on tough issues like religious liberty, life, marriage, family, sexuality, public policy, and the culture, all from a biblical worldview. Listen with us to the lecture, then stick around afterward as we break down the content. The Lecture Me podcast is available wherever podcasts are found, or visit frc.org/podcasts.
Ever heard the term toxic masculinity? Hello, this is Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council. Some progressive universities are offering courses to help men unlearn rigid definitions of masculinity, treating it as if it were a mental health condition. Thankfully, the culture doesn't have the last word on manhood. God does. Check out our StandCourageous.com for an event in your area. That's StandCourageous.com.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right, the media is dealing with the coronavirus like it's the Black Plague. How do we deal with the fear of a serious, threatening virus or any other issue like this? Joining me now to talk about how to face this anxiety is the senior pastor of Pinehurst Baptist Church, Dave Bearden, whose congregation is just miles away from the epicenter in Washington State, an area that's been one of the most affected by the virus. In fact, he preached on this topic yesterday. Pastor Bearden, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks so much, Tony. It's an honor to be with you today.
Well, let me just ask you this, because, I mean, you're right there. This is a reality for a lot of people. Washington State's been hit hard by this. How did you bring your congregation along on this? Because sometimes the perception of what could happen is greater than what actually happens.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And so, we've tried to, as pastors and elders here, just try to be informed and watchful so that we can, just take care of and shepherd the flock that God's given us. And so, really, we've done that in several different ways, on a real practical level, just encouraging those in our congregation to follow some of the just really common sense practices that the CDC and other people, organizations like them are recommending, especially related to personal hygiene. And then, if they're already, sick with some sort of bug or virus, that they need to, not engage, around other people, just kind of keeping in mind that the whole idea of loving your neighbor as yourself, and just being mindful of others with those things. And then we've also encouraged them that we are being, watchful and careful with the recommendations and even the mandates of the governing authorities, especially regarding public gatherings, and that, we want them to know that we're going to, honor those mandates that may be given to us by governing authorities, based upon what Scripture teaches in Romans 13, so that's another thing we've done. And then just a couple other things we've done is just to be really careful and vigilant in our own, cleaning practices and preparation practices for our gatherings here on our campus, you know, just to be able to ensure people that all the areas that that people are going to be accessing on a weekend have been cleaned and sanitized thoroughly. And we've even given, you know, special thought to how we take up the offering and the Lord's Supper and those kind of things. And then I would say above, probably above all, what we've tried to do is let people know that it's okay to be concerned, you know, about this, but we want to encourage them and exhort them not to worry, not to be fearful, but to entrust themselves to God, you know, as their Heavenly Father who loves them and cares about them, and, you know, cast those cares and anxieties upon the Lord, you know, knowing that He cares for you, and that no matter what we experience in this life, that as a Christian, God is going to use that to accomplish His purposes for us, even if that involves sickness and suffering.
Yeah, speaking of the Scripture and our response, Pastor Bearden, I mean, I think of Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, where we're commanded by Paul writing to the Philippians. It says, be anxious for nothing, or be careful for nothing. Don't be overly concerned, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And, you know, I think that's very applicable here, because we know studies show that prayer actually reduces anxiety. There's clinical studies that show that. But for the Christian, we know that we're not just saying words and it's not therapy. We're actually praying to a God who moves, who acts, as we agree in prayer. Scripture says that. So I think we've got to step back, take a deep breath, pray, take the necessary precautions, but not get caught up in the hysteria that is taking place right now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's part of, you know, the message that, I wanted to share with my congregation yesterday. We were I was actually going to be doing a pulpit swap, believe it or not, yesterday with another pastor in our area. But he and I both kind of late in the week said, you know, it's probably just going to be best for us to be with our own congregation so that we can kind of give comfort and assurance to them from the Scripture. And that's one of the main things that I you know, shared with the congregation yesterday in the message that I gave them is, you know, that we can trust God. We have a God who is faithful. We have a God who is sovereign, that all things are under His authority and in His control. And so it's absolutely right for us to pray. And it's a tremendous resource to be able to do that, because we're praying to the God who has all things under His control, even the coronavirus. I mean, it may seem out of control to everybody else, but for God, He has it under His control. It's under His authority. And, you know, that's the God that we're in relationship with. And so we should absolutely go to Him and pray to Him and cast those cares and anxieties upon Him and fix our mind on Him.
Right. Despite what the critics might say or the mockers might might respond to the idea that we can still pray in the 21st century about things such as this. I mean, it's amazing to me, you know, despite all of the technology, despite all of our advances, that we still suffer from these types of things. And
that's right.
Ultimately, they're in the hands of God. We need to do our part, but our we can have peace in the midst of the storm if we turn to God during these times of challenges. Pastor Bearden, thanks so much for joining us today. Great to talk with you.
Yeah, thank you, Tony. I appreciate the time.
All right, and we'll be praying for the folks there in Washington State, as in many other states that are facing this. But folks, here's the deal. Life's filled with challenges. When you look at this in context with other threats, and I shared this earlier in the program, the CDC in this flu season says at least, I think, 32 million cases or 35 million cases of the flu have occurred this season, and 20,000 people have died from the flu. We're at maybe 600 cases so far confirmed of the coronavirus. Now, I'm not saying that's going to stop. It could get worse. But look, keep things in perspective. I mean, you got runs on maybe people fighting over toilet paper. I mean, the anxiety level is so intense. You can't – I mean, people are just grabbing everything they think could help them. Joining me now to talk more about this is Harold Harper. He is the Senior Vice President here at the Family Research Council, also the resident counselor, marriage and family counselor. And Harold, thanks so much for sticking around and coming in studio today.
Thanks for having me back.
I want to take a little different track here because I'm doing today on this program what I'm kind of critical of other news shows doing. I mean, it's 24/7 coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do this in our house because we don't have cable, we don't have television. But I've been in a lot of houses where the television runs 24/7,
right.
And this headline is going on, and there's it's hysteria. I mean, people are the anxiety level. I mean, I saw it. I flew into D.C. last night, and you know, somebody coughs on the plane, and you think they're going to throw the person out. I mean, there's this, it's like, wow, our children are watching this,
right.
And we're quick to check their temperature, but are we seeing how they're doing? How should we be handling this with our children?
I think you make a good point. You know, number one, as we talk at our Stand Courageous conferences, we're the key as dads, particularly our parents. We're to be the example, and we're to model behavior. And I think just listening to today's show and talk about the stock market and potential of where the anxiety could go, just with natural other things, circumstances in life, and you've lived through this at a flood. You know, there's all different types of things that are going to come our way. And I think many of our listeners can reflect back on their own life. Many who've listened of our faithful listeners have been through trials in their life and have learned from them. So the question is, what are we modeling to our children? And, you know, my goal in our home is for my kids to know that every morning I'm in the Word of God. And as we're together, many of our listeners are reading with us through the Scripture. You know, God has already given us a pattern. We've already read through Job, and we've learned some things there. And I'm amazed at each day how God gives us just the right morsel we need for the day. Give us this day our daily bread. Every day I'm feeding myself with the Word of God so that when I get home at night and we're having conversations around the table, you know, we don't watch the news. We don't keep the news channel on. Now, when my mom calls, she's been watching Fox News all day, and so she wants to talk about the news, and I tell her, just turn the TV off. She spends a great amount of time in the Word. My mom is one of the most godly women I know. She spends a solid 2 hours in the Word every morning. But that proves my point, that throughout the day, you know, just turning on the TV, how easily we can be distracted by the way the world is looking right at this. And as Pastor Dave said, you know, God knows all about this virus. He's the authority over, you know, the storms and disasters that have happened recently in Tennessee. You know, he's in control. So we must model that, I think, also to our friends that are watching in our church. You know, 1 Peter 3:15 came to mind when Pastor Dave was talking. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks for the reason for the hope that you have, and do this with gentleness and respect. And I think you know, the problem is, and this is a sad commentary on the church, but how many people are coming up to believers in the church saying, "Tell me about the hope that is within you," because mm-hmm. many times we're just as freaked out as the people outside the church. And we have a responsibility as ambassadors for Christ. We're to represent him. And so the way we respond to this, if you're feeding off the Word and we're living in a spirit of faith because we've been through trials, God has seen us through. All of us have been through. My brother, 5 years battling with cancer, and I was right there battling with him. My dad passed away. You know, there's just, we all have different trials that we face. And I look at you and Luana and your family and think about, you know, you don't think anything about it now. You're on the other side of the flood. But I was just thinking, you know, watching you go through that, that was a testimony to me and how not only did y'all get through that, but y'all also served the community and you did give people hope in the midst of the trial. And I think that's what we're called to do. You know, and I believe that's why God allows things like this. You know, really, when we listen to today's program, the virus is not, you know, it's not at a level of the fear that we're seeing demonstrated right on the news.
It's irrational.
Yes.
The response is irrational. Should we take it serious? Absolutely. And the administration is. I was actually talking to the president's chief of staff today. You know, they're taking the actions. Right. They're taking the steps. They're moving forward. They're getting the test out there. Everything's it's coming into place. But the fear is irrational.
Right.
And we should not get caught up in this. And I go back to what you said about spending time in the Word. And I quoted earlier in the program. Philippians chapter 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, meaning prayers of protection for others, prayers of provision and supplication, asking for God's intervention, and with thanksgiving, as you said, you know, being thankful, knowing that Romans 8:28, these things are going to work together. We don't see it now. We don't see how it's going to do it, but we know that it will because we trust God. And we're also taking actions in doing those things. So for those who would mock that, as they did the vice president when he got the coronavirus team together and prayed, you know, let them mock, okay? Right. Let them mock. Let them be consumed with the anxiety while you walk in peace in the midst of the storm. Doesn't mean you won't get sick, possibly, but it means that you're – it was very interesting. I read an article today about – and I think this was on NBC or one of them. I can't remember which main media outlet. But where they were talking about the anxiety actually makes you more susceptible to the sickness and the virus.
Right, right. I know that's true. But I think about the scripture that when I'm afraid, I put my trust in Him. I think when we're meditating on the Word of God, we have His truth in us. Therefore, when we encounter people who are trying to wrap their mind around this or who are fearful, we have the Word. We have the solution. And another thing that I encourage people to do is to look around and see how God is at work in this. God is allowing all things to happen. But what is He doing? I think it's a great conversation piece right now to point people back to Him and to share the hope that we have in Christ.
And make sure you're having those conversations with your kids because their anxiety level is going to be high if they're watching the parents and watching others. So know that their little eyes focused upon you, parents, grandparents, and be a source of hope and calm and stability in the midst of what I believe is a man-made crisis in many ways. I'm not, again, not downplaying the virus and its effect, but the reaction is an overreaction at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, back to the parents, I think if you could think back and or if you could play a video in your mind back of just watching your own parents. What did they model that they modeled super well? And then what did they model that they didn't model very well? And is that what you want to model to your children? Yeah. Again, for me, I want my kids to know that I'm grounded in faith in the Word and that that comes across as they're watching me do life with them.
Harold Harper, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, folks, grab the kids, gather around, pray. Make sure they wash their hands, but know that it's going to be okay. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you could do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234. 7234.